is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Pinch me. And I
Hi,
like
I'm Bran, and I love Hallmark Christmas movies.
I feel okay.
Do you know what? There's two things going on right now, and we need to address it before we go any further in this podcast. Yeah. Number one, Bran, you gotta stop it.
Just
you
let
gotta
us
stop.
Know.
Let me have a moment.
Let us know.
Let us know. Just because once. I called him a maple boy.
I have headphones on. It's very clear.
I have you guys a maple boy? I called you a maple boy last episode and it caught maple boy. And I needed to clarify. I didn't even get a chance. So people are just thinking I'm calling you maple boy for no reason. Second of all, Dan, you're pinching me and didn't like it. You see, that one did sting. Okay, now I'm Panda, and I like Hallmark Christmas movies.
We are still in the intro.
I'm Dan. I don't know what he's talking about, but I despise Hallmark Christmas movies, and this is the Deck the Hallmark podcast. We're just on a quest to alienate
everyone.
Single listener, one at a time. That's all we're trying to do here. I don't get it.
We're not even trying. Don't get it like you're not a part of it.
I get it, but I don't get it. I don't know it. That's right. You get it.
Listen, I'm sorry. If you're new here,
this
is not how we do things around here.
Sorry.
We're consummate professionals.
Yes. There are segments.
Segments.
It's timed.
There's a bit. We talk about
edited.
A movie.
Yes.
We're talking about the Swedish chef today.
Swedish Christmas. Now, the Swedish chef
Christmas?
Did make a Christmas movie. It was a little too dark for Hallmark. He is an assassin on the side, but does love to spend Christmas with his family.
Gotta clap.
Do we?
Yes.
Cue it. Coming this holiday season, he wields a knife, but he also wields his heart for the holidays. Nothing's going to stand in the way of the Swedish chef.
Get out of here, Duffy!
Spending time with his family.
Fa-la-la.
Deck the halls and deck the baddies.
Ah!
Swedish chef, licensed to kill.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about that is whomever made that movie clearly didn't get the rights to the actual Swedish chef.
Yes.
So they just had someone yell in like Muppet.
Right.
It's wild.
It
they don't
weird.
Have the real guy.
It was weird.
He doesn't have his full emoji. He's just going, and it's not passable. Not even in the slide.
That said, I did buy advanced tickets.
I think we all did. The RPX is going to get the Swedish chef.
I'm telling you. Oh, absolutely. The way John Woo filmed it is pretty good.
John Woo did the Swedish chef license to kill.
He did.
Woo.
Doves everywhere.
Kenny Woo.
John Woo coming out of retirement.
Which is what I've been wanting for a long time. Yeah. Ever since Mission Impossible 2, really.
Oh, yeah. That's the one where he really soared.
My goodness. Art.
Best John Woo movie, go.
Mission Impossible 2.
Can you name me another one?
Mission Impossible 2 is the only one you need to know.
Face Off? Face Off is great.
Never saw it.
You haven't seen it either, have you?
What's Face Off?
Yeah, there it is.
It's Nicolas Cage.
Wait for it. Let me pitch you this movie real quick.
Is it better than Rumble in the Bronx?
Yeah, the Jackie Chan film? No. Rumble in the Bronx is legit good. Face Off is bad good. Let me pitch this to you. Real quick, Bran, stay with me.
I'm with you, pal.
John Travolta and Nicolas Cage switch faces. Their skin switches, and so you see John Travolta playing Nick Cage and vice versa in an action movie. Can it get better than that?
No.
But it's terrible. But it's John Woo, and I'm here for it.
Okay.
It's way better than Mission Impossible 2.
But not as good as Swedish Chef.
No, the Swedish Chef, we got an early screening, and it's wild good.
Yeah. The Swedish Chef now.
Tried to do a great escape bit, huh? How'd it go for you?
The sweetest
calls her Lizzie. Can you believe the nerve?
Boy.
Friday.
The sweetest Christmas. Now, if I told you boys that there's another Lacey Chabert movie that we haven't seen,
I would say on the planet that's accurate.
I couldn't believe it when you turned it on today and I saw her again.
Has Candace Cameron Bure, CCB as we call her on this show.
Who are you?
Has CCB ever done a non-Christmas movie or mystery? Is it all
Aurora
Christmas?
Aurora Tea Garden, you dummy.
I said mystery, you dummy.
I see the question.
Do we have children listening?
I'm sorry.
Thank you. Appreciate that. If it's not Aurora Tea Garden or Christmas, has CCB done?
I feel like you should also say sorry. Because you didn't have to retaliate.
You were wrong.
I know. But you, one wrong.
I'm sorry that you were wrong.
No, no, no. Me calling you a dummy doesn't make it okay for
you. Oh my gosh. This is ridiculous.
No, no, no. Two wrongs do not make a right.
That's accurate, but we're also like 10 minutes in. We did a bit in the intro.
We're 5 minutes in. We've got a.
Oh, really?
We've got plenty.
Yeah, in that case, I'm gonna dig my heels in here. You didn't listen. Apologize for not listening and be a bad host of the show.
No, I'm not apologizing for not listening.
Okay, if he doesn't apologize,
or for being a bad host,
I can do to help him.
I'm apologizing for saying dummy, and that's the only thing that I would also ask.
But if you had listened, none of this
would
happen.
Would you apologize for saying dummy?
Only if he apologizes for not listening.
Will you apologize for not listening? What were you? You were just apologizing.
I was just apologizing for saying dummy. I will.
No. It's not going to be good enough. No, it's not going to be good enough.
75% of an apology.
You know that that's not anywhere near good enough.
Listen,
I'll give you 75% of an apology and I won't go any higher.
It's no go for me.
Would you take 80?
I would not.
85?
I would take 98 and not a penny less.
How about 98?
97.5.
No.
Come on. Can you?
I'm out. Sorry.
Negotiations broke down and really hate that here at Deck the Homework, but sometimes these things happen. This is what happens in friendship.
Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam.
No. I guess we should move
forward. Oh, we still got a show to do, huh?
All right, guys, let's talk about The Sweetest Christmas. It originally aired on November 11th, apparently. I was just getting fed that information in my ear. It was very hard to say it and hear it at the same time. 2017.
2017.
Year guy?
No, year guy's on a break.
Who are you? You sound a skosh like
him. I'm Daryl.
Daryl, how are you?
I'm okay.
Why are you here?
Somebody told me to come in and say 2017. They'd give me a sixer.
A sixer of what?
Bud Light.
Who did?
Someone.
Who?
He had a big twirly mustache. He was smoking a cigarette outside.
I think that's Rig.
Rig?
Yeah. He said, come in and just say 2017.
Rig.
And do your best.
Is that true?
Listen, I'm not here to answer any of your questions.
And it went a little something like this. Meet superstar Aunt Kylie. She's crushing the aunt game. She's also crushing baking. She's baking for the American Gingerbread Competition that's held in the heart of America, Helen, Georgia.
Hope they didn't have to vote on it.
Oh, boy. She loves baking, but she's not a full-time baker. She's a receptionist. Womp, womp. She was a receptionist for her boyfriend's company, who has planned an anniversary surprise. That surprise is going to be at her ex-boyfriend's restaurant. His name is Nick. When Nick sees her, his jaw literally drops. And the boyfriend's basically like, hey, thank you so much for coming to dinner. I hope you like the rose petals. And also, the reason I brought you here is because I want to give you a promotion. And so she breaks up with him, which seemed like a little intense. Like, what was the deal there? Well, she thought that she was getting proposed to because of the rose petals.
The table. Reservations, the restaurant.
The whole nine yards, as we like to say, in the industry.
Where did that come from?
What, in the industry?
No, a whole nine years.
I know where it came from, but...
History or story?
Save it for history or story?
No, give it to me in three, and I'll pick the one that...
Okay, you finish the synopsis first.
I love that idea.
Okay.
The next day, she gets a letter saying that she got accepted into the American Gingerbread Competition, and the potential prize is $25,000, which is great because she's wanting to open her own bakery. She's pumped. But then she finds out that her niece and her nephew ruined the oven by cooking toys inside of it. So she decides, I'm going to go ask Nick if I can use one of his extra ovens. Nick and Kylie brainstorm ideas for a one-of-a-kind, never-before-seen gingerbread house idea. And they land on this one, Santa's Village. Ex-boyfriend is jealous when he sees her and Nick hanging out. And so he says, I'm going to come up with the quote-unquote grandest gesture of them all. Kylie and Nick start spending a lot of time together baking and parenting his son. Guys, I want to introduce you to Ina Bruckner.
Ina Bruckner? Bruckner.
Bruckner,
sure.
Ina Bruckner. She's a German celebrity baker. She is entering this competition. No one knows why this celebrity baker is entering this competition, but she is. It's a surprise because she's not from here and because she's a celebrity. Turns out, Ina is also sponsored by the ex-boyfriend in the savage move of the year. Turns out, though, that the dude called Ina over just because he knows that Kylie likes her and hired Ina to bake a jewelry store gingerbread house so that he could propose to her. She runs out of the room as quick as possible to find Nick. Nick is sad because he sees the proposal. To win Nick back, Kylie makes a carousel gingerbread house and uses his son's invention of the pizza spinner to make it actually turn. It works, they win, and then they go back to the carousel where they shared their first kiss back in high school. They have a wonderful evening together, and they kiss. And that, my friends, was the sweetest Christmas.
Yay, we did it.
Right. History of her story.
You want me to do it real quick? All right. You got sound over there?
I've got the timer. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. All three wars we're going to talk about. Okay. First war, Civil War. During the Civil War, the women in the South had to make the uniforms because they were running out of materials. And so the women would make these uniforms. And to do so, they would roughly need to spin out of cotton, because the cotton made the textile fabrics, roughly 27 feet of fabric in order to make, I think, three uniforms, right? So 27 feet of fabric. And so for them to have done that, they would have spun the whole nine yards is what it was called. Story number two. Ready? World War One, trench warfare, trenches, giant trenches, barbed wires. Then you run to the next one, run to the next trench.
I know. You've seen World War. Yes.
Okay. In between trench, barbed wire, trench, from trench to barbed wire was approximately 27 feet. So running to there under safety and not getting shot, you would have to run the whole 9 yards. Lastly, World War II, combat planes, the bullets, the sheet of bullets that you would get, that you would feed into the machine gun, 27 feet of bullets. They would call that, if you fired all 27 feet at one thing or one target, you gave them the whole 9 yards. Those are the three. Civil War, World War One, World War II. What do you got?
I'm going to go with the trench.
The trench, World War One.
Trench distance.
Trench distance, World War One.
I'm going World War II bullets.
World War II bullets. World War II bullets is correct.
It's like old times.
Like old times. Did you know that?
The only reason I was able to do it is because it's about an assassin in Whole Nine Yards, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
in the movie.
So, yeah.
Yeah. There you have it.
I extrapolated.
That doesn't add up, but that's fine.
No, assassin guns.
Yeah, boom, but you could still have that movie and it not be about guns. Like, they didn't.
Well, he got there, Dan, so I don't know what you
want. No, it works well.
I don't know what to tell you. This is how I win all the time.
That.
Except for
yeah,
the last all right, season.
Yeah,
season two, you actually lost.
You're right. I lost season two. Yep, you're right.
Where's my belt? Is it in there?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. Man, we're really doing it here. Hey, are there people out there that are like, I'm tired of the bits, but I really miss history or his story? I bet you're out there. If you are, and you're still listening right now, if you come to Bramble Fest, we're doing a history or his story live.
Exactly right.
True story.
Pretty exciting.
You can even get a virtual ticket and watch us do it live, and that's the only way you're going to be able to hear it, from what I understand. So, you know, what's going on here? Oh, you got the adhesive going? You're really doing it. Man.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back here on Deck the Hallmark, my podcast.
Boy, oh boy. What are you the champion of over there, Brand?
People call me the champion of TV.
Really? Why is that?
Well, a couple of reasons. One, in 1993, I actually won a TV trivia contest.
Okay.
Really?
You were 1 year old.
I was 1 year old. And also, because I have a deal to tell you about.
Okay.
Philo is crushing it. Philo is the best TV streaming service that I can possibly think of.
Yeah.
They have so many great channels. They have so much great programming. They have unlimited DVR. And they're giving our listeners a very special deal where they're giving you, our listeners, 25% off.
2 months?
For 2 months.
Wow.
By going to philo.tv/DTH. Philo.tv/DTH. It was called TV Trivia Tots.
TV Trivia Tots.
And I crushed it. Tammy Todd? Not a chance.
Man, those Philo commercials. That deal and your outfit right now, hot, right, Neil? right now? Hotter than the studio.
Yeah.
And let me tell you.
Let me tell you.
Blazing.
Oh, boy. You're going to want to get on that deal right away.
Guys, let's talk about the Swedish Christmas.
It is sweltering in here.
Let's talk about the Swedish Christmas. Let's start with a hot take.
And is it offensive for us to be complaining about the heat right now when in the West right now it's 130 degrees?
Probably. It is.
But it's still hot.
Is an oven in the studio.
Yes. It's brutal.
Yeah. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
It's hot. Panda?
Yeah, this is a no-go for Panda. Real snoozer, this one. Lacey bakes gingerbread. And that's pretty much it. There's a relationship with very little chemistry. I don't think he was having fun on the movie. I wasn't having fun watching the movie. So we had that in common. And yeah, that's what I got. There you go.
It's the best Lacey Chabert movie I've seen this month.
Wait a minute. So, have we seen 100? Well, let me unpack that. Family for Christmas Family for is the Christmas. Other one.
Yes. This better than Family for Christmas? Yeah. I mean, this movie.
Yeah,
Christmas,
you did, you doofus. It's the one that was.
You said it was
the
most offensive movie of all time.
You're right. This is better than that. This is bad because it's so boring it hurts. It is not bad because it is offensive to humanity. So there you go.
Fair.
I do agree with my cohort here. This is a bit of a snoozer. And I also agree that the guy didn't really seem to be in it. I don't know if...
Oh, my goodness.
He just didn't seem to be in it.
No.
And so that's tough when, you know, half of the main cast isn't in it. And so that's a bummer. And the gingerbread houses weren't great. So all that's a bummer. But we did it, and Merry Christmas.
Yeah, this movie's really bad. And I feel like if we went and watched the Lacey movies chronologically, which sounds like a horror movie, you would find that this was the year she started to give up. Because it feels like she's going through the motions. Family for Christmas, a worse movie. Her performance is way better.
Yeah.
And she's acting next to cardboard. Like, he is a graham cracker with no cinnamon. Like, he is just there. Daniel Tosh meets Ryan Phillippe, but the talent of neither. That's right. And he's just there. And she's
Daniel Tosh is more talented than anyone. You
than this guy.
But then yes, anybody.
That's right. That's the low. That's the bar. Yeah. So it's just not good. Wow. It's boring. It's bad. I hated it. It's really, really bad. Dumpster fire. Call it. Bram, what are you doing?
I'm just finding the best place.
Now you know my conundrum. You won't want to be champion carrying that belt around.
I like it. It's time for all the feels. Part of the show, we talk about what gave us feels. Panda.
None. Nothing. I felt nothing. I felt bummed out. Helen, Georgia, if you've never been, is beautiful. It's a really neat city.
You know what's crazy is the people that filmed the movie, they've also never been to Helen, Georgia.
Right, which is my next point. It's clearly taking place in Helen, Georgia. They give you no indicator, which is shocking because of the towns that would give you kind of Christmas charm. Yeah. It's a German-themed town. Like, it's quaint. It is a great place if you wanted to go do Christmas shots. You get no sense.
Want to go do Christmas shots?
You know what I mean.
Shot. Christmas shots
Christmas
over here with Panda.
Scenes,
you also, Bramblefest. Panda said he's up for Christmas shots. True story.
I'll do Christmas shots with whoever you want.
They got a Christmas shot at Fitzy's. That's pretty good.
What is it?
Oh, you don't want to know. But I'll tell you
he
if you
keeps
want.
Saying
no. You want an egg yolk. All right. You put it in there. Okay? Yeah, okay. You put some milk in and you stir it all around. Yeah. Really good. You sprinkle some Red Hots on top of it.
Yeah.
You with me so far?
So far,
so good.
Andy's Mints.
Okay.
Blend it all up. Shooters, baby.
I don't know about if that's sanitary.
There's a lot of dairy-based drinks here. No, Christmas shots have no alcohol. I don't know if you heard.
I wouldn't.
That's fascinating. I kept waiting for the alcohol.
Somehow that's more dangerous than if we were...
Yeah, raw eggs could really get you. They could bite you. There's no doubt about that.
Get the old
also, I did not mention you do have to chase it with Mad Dog 2020. I should have thrown that in there. Christmas shots with Panda, everybody.
I think I'm out.
He's all in, baby.
Oh, man. Don't like that.
My all the feels was I have always wanted to make a gingerbread house from scratch.
Yep.
and I never have because I've never had a good experience baking gingerbread houses, the store-bought ones. And so it seems like a lot of extra work to do something that is probably not going to look good. And so I want to try it, is what I'm trying to say. I don't know. Do you guys have good luck with gingerbread houses?
I've never built one.
I don't want to. I mean, I've built one with the have all the stuff pre-made.
Yeah, how'd it turn out?
Oh, I hated it. It was terrible. I'm not good at that stuff. Yeah, not fun.
But it seems like it would be easier.
The only time I've ever wanted to be a part of something like that was the gingerbread romance movie where they're building life-size gingerbread houses. Now, that was bonkers. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
I would like to make a gingerbread house from scratch, I think. All
right. And this movie inspired that?
I've wanted to for a while, so anytime I see it.
This movie reminded you and gave you all the feels. So okay. Fair enough. Yeah, mine are gingerbread related as well. My feels are all of the gingerbread houses this movie not made by Lacey Chabert, because hers are worse, by and large, than the rest of them. That's in true. The competition, the carousel gingerbread is awful. It's crooked. It's not, all of the little poles aren't even touching. The other entries in the competition are amazing. The jewelry store, looks amazing. Good. There's a high rise, like skyscraper kind
looks
of building.
Looks great.
Amazing. They all should have won over Lacey Chabert. She shouldn't have even made the semifinals. Those gingerbread houses looked impeccable. All in on those. That's my feels.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Wait What's.
Yeah.
Here on the Homework. We don't have time for that.
We don't.
Oh, hey, guys. Welcome back to Deck the Hallmark. We're talking about this.
I want to hear what we don't have time for on Deck the Hallmark. Like, what could possibly, like...
Oh, I'll tell you.
Okay, we've done a lot of bits here.
Right.
Okay, what do we not have time for?
Crandler. Yes.
Not clammy, not Crandall.
No.
Crandler. Yeah.
Came in with his 5 steps for prohibition.
You're right.
We don't right. have time.
You're
that.
Right.
I told you.
No, that's true.
Thanks for keeping a tight Thank eye you. On us, Trace.
You're welcome.
Tight eye on us. Thank you. Thanks, Tracy.
I said what I said.
It's time for the Sugar Shack Showdown 1923. All right, everybody, welcome to the Sugar Shack Showdown. It's the final show where we have a lot of fun throwing sugar at each other. This year's Sugar Shack Showdown, we are playing with nothing but Dippin' Dots, the ice cream of the future. Remember, no headshots, no headshots, no knee shots, nothing in between. Tip those dots if you know what I mean.
Oh, I'm going to roar 20 of these dots right at your face.
Oh, you're going to have to skip it because I got them right here.
Not on my watch, no, Skippy.
Prohibition.
Sugar Shack Showdown 1923.
I have so many questions, and all of them always are about the host, but in this one case... Dippin' Dots in 1923 were the ice cream of the future.
And they still are to this day.
You know what? They changed the slogan.
Get out of town.
I did. And I know this because I bought my kids Dippin' Dots this weekend at the aquarium.
Got and ripped off, man.
No, for sure. When have you bought Dippin' Dots and
thought, that was like a sound investment
purchase right here.
But people like, man, imagine being like one of the guys that like, you know, oh, I passed on Uber. Like, oh, man, yeah. I really blew it. Like, I'm putting past on Dippin' Dots on my resume. Yeah. Like, yeah. I make good investments. Yes. I didn't invest in the dumbest thing of all
you
time.
Give me a cup of ice cream, Dots, $5. That's what happens. My kids got them.
I hate them so much.
And it's no longer the ice cream of the future. So we've made it to the future right now.
That's good news.
But ice cream... still exists.
And it's still, they're in these little circles and they're not as good as real ice cream.
But ice cream of the future,
always the way they
Dippin' Dots saying ice cream of the future implies that one day ice cream as you knew it will cease to exist.
No, that's not true.
It's going to be.
It just is implying it's like how you can get cable TV without a cord now. People still have cords in their house.
But what's crazy is no one was clamoring for less ice cream.
Nobody was like, you know what? This home... made cream and sugar taste delectable. I wonder if there's a way we could make it just round balls.
Real small.
Maybe one day. Maybe with flying cars, we'll make them round balls. Maybe we'll get there one day.
Honey, I know it's 3 a.m., but I've got the worst idea of all time, and I can't sleep.
But I will tell you that
ice cream balls.
The ice cream of the future did get me when I was... We had
Dippin' Dots in the mall. Oh, my gosh.
I used to walk by there and be like, the
future.
The only reason we're getting
I would always be like $8 for a large Dippin' Dots. I mean, it is of the future. That's why it's worth it.
This is why they can upcharge because they're
absolutely
they've peered around the corner somehow. That's right.
They got ahead of us.
Oh, you guys won't believe it.
Derek came home wasted at 3 a.m. talking about round ice cream. Like, I don't know, like balls of ice. Like, the future? I don't know, but he put all our money into it.
Guys, we just got back from the future. Doc took us. Yeah. It was a trip.
We could cure diseases. We could fly cars. But here's what we got to get working on right now.
Round
ice cream.
Tiny balls.
Tiny balls of ice cream. Ice cream balls. Big, just tiny ones.
You guys know how you get a nice scoop of ice cream on a cone?
What if forget
we got,
it.
What if we got rid of the cone and made the balls?
You're going to need a spoon for this, mother. That's for sure. Dude, Dippin' Dots should be the ice cream of deck to Hallmark. Why isn't it? We got to get on that right now.
Can you reach out to them?
Probably you know what? I have reached out to almost every company you can think of. I've never reached out to the ice cream of the future, and that's on.
You know where they save money? They probably don't have a head office. It's probably just some dude. Just he wakes up laughing.
It's freaking
tiny.
Jamie Alien, he's only in this universe once a year.
You could make a pitch that Dippin' Dots is more the ice cream of space than you could of the future.
Right at this point, yeah.
Of the future was an odd,
like just weird.
It was space age.
It's unbelievable.
Did anybody get their first container of Dippin' Dots and think to themselves, I can see it?
Yeah,
I can see how this is going to last.
Do you think they've ever had a repeat customer? That's the real question.
Dude, I've had it multiple times. You have kids, you get it. But how underwhelmed were you the first time you had Dippin' Dots?
Once you get over the initial, you buy into it, you're like, oh, so it's ice cream.
The thing that I liked about Dippin' Dots, the things that I liked about Dippin' Dots is they had a cotton candy flavor, which is harder to find in standard
ice cream. They had it at the aquarium.
Yeah.
Here's what we do. We take ice cream, we down the good smooth flavor, we up ice, we make it a little frozen.
That's what everyone wants.
All right, the future. Guys, we got to get to the wait what's.
Because how long was that Dippin' Dots?
I mean, we almost had... 5 minutes. We almost had time for the prohibition, and now we don't.
Yeah, now we don't.
Crandall's out to lunch.
What do you got?
Just Ralphie, first of all, eating food off of people. On. Like, the dude's a wait what into himself. Like
that's why you brought him up.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Unto himself. I just couldn't say the name Ralphie, and you get it.
Yeah.
But he is literally eating all the food that the restaurant makes. It's not just sampling the food. He's the chef.
This guy's one problem. He's awesome. He's a great family dude.
Yep, good dude.
Just salt of the earth. He loves to sample the food that he's going to send out to patrons at the restaurant. He's eating all the time.
And they run out of, prosciutto or something like
prosciutto.
That?
Prosciutto.
Prosciutto.
Prosciutto. Is that on your charcuterie board? Get out of here.
I said what I said, and I think I'm saying it right.
Oh, my gosh. Prosciutto on the charcuterie board. You should be ashamed of yourself.
I won't.
Hey, prosciutto. We got a charcuterie board from the Greenville Cheese Girl.
Oh, my goodness.
Lauren, and was sent to us by Kathleen Szabo out in California. But she sent us, Greenville Cheese Girl is in Greenville.
Yeah.
Look her up
Unreal.
On the Insta.
Unreal.
Oh, my gosh. Best cheese board I've ever had. The stone ground mustard.
Stupid good.
Let's go.
Stupid right good.
My goodness.
Amazing. Incredible.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Ralphie mentions that his wife is bored over Christmas break and because she's a teacher.
She's a high school teacher.
Yeah, high school teacher.
Yeah.
He goes, she would probably be okay watching a kid because she gets bored over Christmas break. As a teacher.
Yeah. No, you don't get bored over
Christmas break. You could not be more grateful for Christmas break.
You close your eyes and wake up to first period in January. Like, that's what happens.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, you legitimately do not get tired. That's absurd.
Final thing, Ralphie. One more time. Just going to the Ralphie.
He's a way one in and of himself, but also three more things.
Yeah. Ralphie.
You could just say Ralphie, though. I want to be clear.
You could just say Ralphie. I stand by what I said.
So I screw the future.
But she, when they're getting ready to go shopping at the big bakery outlet, whatever thing, food kitchen place.
Yeah. The restaurant supply store.
Yeah, that's the one. Ralphie says, I'll see you at 6:00. And she goes, in the morning? And he responds, no, the other one. And I just think that's a very odd way of saying in the, or he says, she says in the evening, 6 p.m. in the evening, he says, no, the other one. Referring to the morning. It's a weird bit.
That's a good one.
No, it's a good one. Ralphie, what more do you want me to say?
Ralphie.
What more do you want me to say?
Not saying AM.
You know
classic.
What? Classic Ralphie.
Prosciutto.
I'm thankful that we are getting better opening graphics to these Hallmark movies. because this one's god awful. It just says "The Sweetest Christmas" in an awful font, underlined three times.
Bing, bing, bing.
Let's do it three times. They're making gingerbread houses, and that kid's cheek is all over the house. And I don't know, he doesn't get any icing on it, but he's like leaning up against it. It was an odd thing. And last but not least, boy, Nick, boy, my guy, my Nick. He showed up to the engagement, to the proposal, I mean. He's very upset. He runs back out to his car. My guy Nick has done an absolutely atrocious job of backing into that space.
Oh, yeah. No.
It's awful.
That Grand Cherokee's just all cattywampus.
Now, I understand. You think, you know, all is lost. But now it is, because she has seen how you parked. Like, if you, any chance you had is now lost, because it was an awful parking job.
You mean to tell me she's going to come out and see the bad parking job and go, I can't?
That's exactly right.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's how bad it is.
Wow. It was bad.
Who do you think you are?
I am.
Dan?
Yeah. This guy, and I want to get this straight, because we've had a lot of things that would be inappropriate or illegal
happen. Is it hotter over here?
It's real hot. this guy, the boyfriend who's also her boss at the beginning of this movie, he makes a reservation at the nicest restaurant in town. He has rose petals all over the table, gets the nicest table at the nicest restaurant, and he does all of that to tell her that she's getting a promotion at work. Oh, not the best. It's not what we were going for. That's what we call not appropriate and not legal in any way, shape, or form. It's not okay. I do want to nominate The Sweetest Christmas for worst looking Christmas trees in a movie we've ever watched. I don't mean they were sparse. I mean, the leaves are literally drooping and browning. They are the worst trees I've ever seen in one of these movies. It's appalling. And they're like, this is the best tree in the world. The tree is dead. It is DOA. Get a different tree. Really, really bad. Early in the movie, her former boyfriend offers for the real estate company, Hawkey Homes, to sponsor her in the show. Look, she needs the money to start her own company. He's trying to be kind. I don't understand why she feels as though she can't take that sponsorship. It's a no-brainer sponsorship. It's free money. Take the sponsorship. Doesn't make any sense at all why that didn't happen. Lastly, the dude, the lead male, I don't know his name. His whole thing is his kid never sees him during Christmas. Doesn't ever see him. Dad's never home. Dad didn't decorate the tree. He's an absentee father. But you know what this guy does have time to do? Shut down his restaurant to go to a baking competition with the girl he's trying to get with. That's what he's got time for. He shuts it down for days and days. Can't give his son the time of day, but 100% can go up to Helen, Georgia to watch Lacey Chabert bake gingerbread for a couple of days. Not exactly okay.
Have you been to Helen, though? I mean, just
phenomenal. Oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And that's more important than kids.
Great Let's Christmas shots years. There.
Yeah. That's all I got.
Got great shots. It's time for What the Hallmark. The part show we wonder what could have been. Maybe having to get some clarity to the questions we still have. Panda.
Is a pizza turner a real thing? I need to know that, because that is not a bad. At first, I was like, "That's a dumb idea," but then as we start talking about
it, you started off like, "What's up?"
I was
like,
"That's a dumb idea," but then as you guys start talking about it and we start expounding upon the uses of it, I think that this could be something. Could be a real something.
Could be.
I want
one. Humdinger.
Where do I buy it? Sign me up.
Was what's her name? Ina.
Ina Bruckner.
Bruckner.
That's a play on Ina Gartner, who's a barefoot contessa. She's a very famous.
She's a barefoot contestant?
Her name on her Food Network show is Barefoot Contessa, but her real name is Ina Gartner. That's just her name for the show, Barefoot Contessa. I don't know why. I think it has something to do with I've never watched the show very long.
Wait, so her name is
Ina Gartner.
Ina Gartner.
Ina Gartner.
But she goes by Barefoot Contessa. Contessa.
I'll look at it. Keep going. I'm going to look up why she's called that.
Now I've got more questions. I want to know. So, it seems like ex-boyfriend knew that she was a fan of this baker. So he, this is how I took
it. Okay, Ina Garten, a Barefoot Contessa was the original name of her specialty food store And she named it after a movie with Ava Gardner and Humphrey Bogart. It means being both elegant and earthy, two persons which we think Garten has perfected.
Well, I knew Contessa.
Oh, good. Just stop it. Just stop.
I know what I mean. Sometimes people are cultured and sometimes you're not. I get it both.
But I asked and you did nothing.
I wouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah, and as soon as I started saying it, you know, they're both personal.
I see where it was called.
I knew that all along.
I had my suspicions.
Go ahead.
I want to know what, like, did she have any goal? Like, did she want to be a part of this competition on her own? How much did he do? Did he call her up, say, hey, come over here, you can compete in this competition. In the process, I want you to build something that I can also use to propose. Or did he find out that she was coming and come up with, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's a little murky about how.
He had to pay her a lot of money because they're sponsoring the event. Like, clearly it was a win for him, a win for her, and a win for his proposal, according to him.
Yes, but was the whole plan to just bring her over here for the proposal?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was the plan.
It's bold.
But I have a question about Ina Bruckner as well. Multiple times in this movie, they call her the godmother of gingerbread.
Yeah.
Now, gingerbread has been around for...
long time.
Hundreds of years. Baked gingerbread has been around for hundreds of years. This woman is, what, 60 maybe? What did Ina do in her life that made her the godmother... not like the master of gingerbread or the queen of gingerbread, the godmother of gingerbread. What did she do to gingerbread that hadn't been done for the hundreds of years before her?
They call her the barefoot fancy pants.
Barefoot fancy pants?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because she's fancy, but at the same time,
she wears pants.
Earthy.
Interesting. Yeah, that makes sense. Earthy. Yeah, I thought that all along.
Yeah, I thought.
So Contessa is another word for fancy pants?
Cultured.
Interesting. We did it, everybody. Congratulations. It's time for the Double Decker of the Week. Dan, who do we have today?
We have Aaron Keys, K-Y-S, Kiss,
yeah.
Ties.
Yeah, you get it.
Aaron Kiss.
Yeah. Aaron's opened up just the nicest little restaurant right by the sea, Dan. I think you're really going to like
it.
It's
called
Atlantic.
Okay.
And
Atlantic Ocean?
Yeah, the Atlantic Sea. You get it.
The Atlantic Sea?
It's semantics, really, if you think about it.
Is it on the coast of the Atlantic Ocean, yes or no?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think you're really going to like the food they serve there. It's delicious. Right there in Myrtle, Dan.
In Myrtle Beach?
Yeah, yeah. Top notch.
What's it called?
Shell Shocked.
Oh, boy.
Right on. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's the bit there?
She only takes payment in the form of seashells.
What does that have to do with shocking anything?
Because when people find out, they're shell shocked.
They're shocked. They're shell shocked.
But they have to know before they go in or she'll never get paid.
What do you mean?
But when they go in, shell shock.
Well, you have to go find it.
They pay. They get the bill. That'll be 118 shells. They're like, well, I don't have that. So you're telling me they don't let them leave without going out and searching the ocean?
This is what's great. They have a conversion chart. You could take your money and convert it to shells.
So there's a exchange.
Shell TM.
A shell exchange. A shell exchange.
Yeah.
So they go in there, and is it like market price, I would assume?
Absolutely.
Yeah, market price.
Yeah.
So they're like, it's 183 shells, but right now shells are going for $3 a shell.
Three or four.
Yeah, so you're at $550.
But can I bring in any quality shell? If I'm paying with shells.
Yeah, if you're going...
Do the shells have to be whole, or can they be shell shards?
The shard to whole ratio is 2 to 1.
Two shards equal one shell.
Yeah.
Dude, get out of town.
Get one shell, pop that boy into a bunch of shards.
And then you got more shells.
Way more.
Yeah, if you wanted to. Yeah, you could do it. I'm not sure it's the best idea.
So the people that are paying market value are getting robbed. Well,
they teach you not to be prepared.
If you come in with shells, you're making out like a gangster.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. She rewards those who pay attention. She's top notch. Shell shocked.
Maybe the first one to make.
Gangbusters.
Gangbusters.
I don't know why.
I forgot. The Hallmarks of the Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in, Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.